My dear devotees, I would like to speak a little bit about the central subject matter of a retreat in the sacred valley of Giriraj. With this little introduction to our retreat, I aspire and hope to give you maybe an orientation for the coming week, to point out at obstacles which you might have to confront if you wish to make the deepest use of your week here at the foothill, at the foot, lotus foot of Giriraj, and maybe offer you also some outlook, some vision, some prospect, maybe, for the spiritual things which could come in this time. Let me start with a wonderful prayer of a great devotee of Shishi Go Nitai. His influence somehow is still in the air. It is the Saint Tukaram, a great devotee and poem in Maharashtra, who was having a darshan of Shishi Go Nitai and then started a kirtan movement there. He said this in one of his songs: "Oh, I'm a beggar. I have traveled through 8,400,000 villages. Everywhere I tried to get food and satisfaction. But now I have come to the understanding that these villages cannot give me what I need. I'm lying now at the side of the road with broken limbs and shattered hopes. My only recourse and shelter at this moment are the beautiful shining lotus feet of Sri Krishna, which seem to be so very far away, yet are so close. Please don't reject me from your door." A very nice prayer by Tukaram. We all have also traveled through 8,400,000 villages. Of course, those trained in the philosophy of Krishna consciousness immediately know this alludes to the material bodies. And we certainly have tried to get a lot of satisfaction. But here we are at the lotus feet of Giriraj, and we have to admit we are still hungry. We are still searching for love to fill our hearts. We are beggars in anticipation of a great gift here. During this time, this 1 week, I would request you to not forget this theme. The theme of a traveler who is searching for a treasure. Please do not forget that you are a traveler. Don't forget that you are a beginner. Don't forget the beginner's mind, which will shoot you into the kingdom of humility, the only place from where you can access mercy. This 1 week has been put under the big motto of transformation of the heart, or the change of heart. It's a subject matter which is referred to in all spiritual traditions, and it is certainly the root of the spiritual experience in Krishna consciousness. We want to change our hearts, and we want to make it a place where Krishna appears. I very much liked how when our devotees put this Krishna into the tree. You know, in the Gopi Gita, the gopis are praying to the trees of Vrindavan. They say that Krishna climbs on you with his feet. This tree is certainly blessed. Krishna certainly has climbed on this tree. And it's described what happens to the tree on which Krishna climbs. These trees pour forth saps, juices, and their branches begin to move and stand up in ecstasy. Ooh, Krishna's on me! And they are very, very ecstatic as a result of it. So we also hope that Lord Krishna will come into our hearts during this Govardhan retreat. If not here, where else? And we do hope that our heart, by the touch of Lord Krishna's lotus feet, will change, and we will become ecstatic. Yesterday, we saw a few first-class devotees going through Vrindavan. And as they were between the village of Rangadevi in Tungavidya, two of the Ashtasakhi gopis, these devotees did something very unusual. And because I'm a dry German, I was thinking, oh my God, what is happening here? They threw themselves in the dust of Vrindavan and started to roll with like little children into the dust of Vrindavan. There was another, one of the devotees was another German, tall like 50 trees. And another was a small man, approaching his 60th birthday rapidly. And he was even not satisfied to roll in the dust with his shirt. He had to lift his shirt up so that the dust touched his heart. And I was just watching them and thinking, wow, they really have become ecstatic by the influence of Vrindavan. They were rolling, they were throwing the dust. And I felt how fortunate to be with to be near such devotees who have felt the ecstasy of Braj entering their hearts. And I thought, it's possible. It's possible. And the next, when we went around the next bend, I also threw myself chup, like a diver into the dust, and with obvious glee dove and submerged my body in dust. And I felt, oh, I have also become a little ecstatic now, just by walking through Vrindavan. In Sanskrit philosophy, there is something changed by the contact of a changing agent. That is a very important basis of our philosophy. That's why when we chant the holy name, we become transformed by the power of the holy name. Huh? Changed by contact with a changing or transforming agent, very important. So here we are in touch with Giriraj. We sit next to a devotee whose hair stand up in ecstasy. You can see here this grass is very ecstatically going in the, what is it, in the vertical position. It goes up. We may still be a little Aniruddha Prabhu. What was that wonderful English word which you used when I was under the influence of dulled by sleep?
Wonky.
We may be a little wonky still. Wonky means we are not really fully awake. But by the touch of this environment, by the touch of these ecstatic hairs, we will certainly have a good chance to also feel the transformation in the heart. In all traditions, including the Krishna conscious tradition, the amazing transformation of the butterfly or the caterpillar into the butterfly has become a symbol of transformation. And I would like you to go a little bit into this example because this example gives you guidance what to look out for and what to avoid. You all know the caterpillar. How do we say caterpillar in Croatian language, Kanakabja? Jo, Yusinitska. Yeah. The caterpillar, how do we say it in Persian? Don't know the word? It's a little long, but you know the word. Good.
Say it, we want to hear.
Yes, that sounds correct. The caterpillar, when it enters its transformational period, you will not believe, dies. The body actually becomes dead of the caterpillar. It starts to dissolve. But then within that body, there are some cells, they are called information cells, which begin to gather together and build little settlements, you could say, within the decomposing body of the old caterpillar. Biologically speaking, at that moment, impulse is given to these little bands of information cells, this little settlement spread out through the decaying body of the caterpillar. This impulse comes from a gene which gives them the information to develop into something very beautiful, a winged creature with colored wings who starts to fly away from the death area. So this is also what happens in a transformation. Something in you has to die. I'm remembering our Buridan Prabhu's riddle last year. There has to be a new information given within that part of your life where you are in transformation, so that something new can come out of the life. In biology, the gene which steers and maneuvers and controls how these information cells or these bands of information cells develop into something entirely different, that is the butterfly, this gene which engineers this process is the same gene which engineers the heartbeat in the human body. I would like to draw from this analogy something which I find very important. You have now left your ordinary life behind. You have also left the busy, bustling town of Krishna, of Vrindavan behind, where you can find all kinds of distracting things. You have come out here into a very rural area, into an ashram, the Dwarkara ashram. You are now not sitting under a roof. The sky has become your roof. Your neighbor is God, or the servant of God. You are in new land, land which you may not have walked before. It's now very, very important that this imaginative, that your desires, let me say, your spiritual desires become your new guide. It's very important now that your spiritual desires engineer your transformational process. I very much liked when Bhurijan Prabhu all did this exercise meant to bring us in contact with our aspirations. These aspirations which you have either written down or because you are a little wonky. Is it wonky?
A little wonky
means between the between a little in between. Maybe you still have to find your aspirations and your desires in your heart. But this is the genetic codex which you need, these aspirations to engineer your transformational process from a, what is it, a caterpillar into a butterfly. You need to connect with the aspirations, your deepest aspirations in Krishna consciousness, because these aspirations should be our guiding light, what maneuvers us to our next destination, that which helps us. Oh, sorry. Thought I'd get a letter.
You want to see?
Hare Krishna.
Dear Bhurijan Prabhu.
So, this is the first thing I would like you to communicate for you. Find your genetic codex of transformation. If you have not yet found the genetic codex of transformation, go deep within yourself and look for the aspirations. Raghunath Das Goswami has so nicely glorified his own spiritual master by saying that, oh, you have given us the hope to attain the lotus feet of Radha Madhava. Huh? This is an aspiration, an example for an aspiration which can guide our journey from the caterpillar to the butterfly. For that, something has to die in us. For this 1 week, I really wish you to become a retreatee. Retreat a little bit from your ordinary life. What we always say is, at the beginning of the retreat, maybe the email communication can wait for one week. My heart came out of my mouth, yes. The email communication should please stop. And learn as when your mind pulls you into the known areas, your old sankskaras, that you think, oh, this is not nice, that is not nice, here the thorn in the foot, oh, how much I desire an American shower now with 50 different degrees of intensity of the water hose, you know. When your mind finds things to worry, which it will, you know, oh, is the bed sheet thick enough, you know, and whatever, just retreat a little bit from this. Leave it behind and connect with your aspiration, which will help us to take our strengths and our earnestness and whatever good qualities we have as devotees, it will draw these things together and put them into the service of reaching or making the most of our wonderful retreat. Huh? I would like to make a second point which leads a little bit into my own subject during this retreat. I forgot to give you the word. Just ignore the mind a little, huh? Whenever it comes up. It's anyways only smoke what it comes up. Billowing smoke, just like the smoke of an incense. Sometimes the incense smoke looks like a lion, ferocious lion. Sometimes the incense smoke looks like a locomotive. Sometimes the incense smoke takes on the shape of a beautiful woman, only to disperse in half a second into a rasagula, half eaten. And in this way, it constantly changes. In the same way, it's temporary, in other words. In the same way, the images of the mind constantly change, and we shouldn't become bluffed and hold on to them. Let it change. But let us not even look at it. We have something better to look at, Giriraj, and our aspirations. Learn this little technique to shift your attention from the constant brabble of the mind. Brabble or babble? Babble of the mind. Babble. A little bit. I'm very experienced in the babble of the mind. Babble. And just turn it towards your aspirations, your hopes, and towards Giriraj. Sometimes you might do what many retreatees do with great benefit. In the pauses, you might come here alone, look for your own tree, sit under your very favorable tree, and chant looking at Giriraj. And you will see so many sweet realizations will come into your heart due to his mercy. So many good determinations, so many good perspectives for your spiritual life will come just by looking at the form of Giriraj. I would like to tell you why it's so important to use this 1 week as a real retreat, that is, retreat or remove yourself from the ordinary mind life which you live. It's only a mind life, a temporary value assessment. A little while ago, Burijan Prabhu visited me because we are friends who like to go together to through thick and thin at Uchagaon. Uchagaon is one village near to Vashana, where I had come for a japa retreat. He came for, I believe you came for 2 days or even 3 days, or was it? It was like that, 2 days, to overnight. And we sat both together at a very nice spot from where we could look at a wonderful lake which is called Deha Kund. This kund, or lake, is a kund where the gopis offered their deha, their bodies, and their very atmas, their selves, to Lord Krishna. It is also a kund where the following pastimes took place. The main personality of this pastime is the divine couple Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. But the other protagonist is a brahmana who didn't know how to go on a retreat, who didn't know to remove himself from his worries and anxieties, and therefore asked Krishna for something tucha. Tucha means insignificant. This is the story. The brahmana had a daughter in marriageable age to give away. Now, in India, this is done by giving a dowry along with the daughter or the woman, which then is claimed by the husband and his family. So the brahmana he was very, very poor. And his wife was already on his case that he was so poor. She said, now the marriage of your daughter is approaching and you don't have enough money or wealth to give away. Why do you worship your Krishna if Krishna doesn't help you in times of need? Your worship is meaningless and useless. This is what the wife said. So the Brahmana was very distraught. Padmavati, this is a story for you. I'm just telling it for you. Hare Krishna. No, you may play. You may play. Playing and listening. Okay. So the Brahmana was very distraught and he ran out into the forest of Braj. And there in the forest of Braj, he prayed, "My dear Lord Syamasunda, please appear before me. I'm in grave trouble. I have to marry my daughter and this trouble is already accelerated and increased because my wife is nagging me. I should do it now and I don't have a dowry. Please appear me." So as he was praying, the Lord appeared before him. He had a darshan. I can't believe it was a puna darshan, a full darshan with every quality of the Lord. But the story doesn't tell us the detail. He had a darshan of Lord Krishna, and Krishna said, "You have called me?" "Yes, I have called you. I'm very relieved that you finally came. Can you give me, please, some dowry, you know, some wealth, jewels or little rupees or whatever. I have to marry my daughter." So Lord Krishna smiled at him and very mysteriously said, "I have nothing of wealth in my possession. I have a stick with which I'm herding my cows. This is my supreme wealth. And you know, we come from the family of cowherd men. We have some at the end of the day, some milk products, but I don't think this is what you're looking for as a dowry." The Brahmana said, "No, please, 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 you are the Lord of all creation. You should have something." Krishna answered, "Well," and with a very mischievous smile, he said, "My supreme wealth, the life of my very life, is Praneshwari Radhe, Shrimati Radharani. Shrimati Radharani ki jai. Oh Radhe, hey Radhe, if it's true that we are one, then please come." And by the simple mantra, Radha was attracted, came, and Krishna immediately gave her away in charity to the Brahmana. But the Brahmana, who did not know how to retreat, who, in other words, did not know how to remove himself from his ordinary worries and his ordinary lives, but, and took his mind so serious, the Brahmana lamented, "Oh, alas, alas, oh vaya, you have doubled my problem. Now I have to give two girls away in charity and with a dowry. First my daughter, and then this new gopi who looks in marriageable age. I have to also give her away. Oh no, oh vaya, alas, condemned is my bad fortune. Condemned is my calling you. You may go now, you have given me double problem." So Krishna, with a mischievous smile, disappeared. But before he disappeared, he got the most intense glance from the sidelong glance of Shrimati Radharani. "Oh, Syam, what have you done? You've given me to this foolish Brahmana." A great problem had arisen in Braj. Krishna had given away his most valuable Radharani, and the gopis were lamenting. They were pining for Radha. They were very, very, very angry at Krishna. And one of them, the messengers, or how do you call it, representative of all of them, came to Krishna and said, "Oh, Krishna, you have done a great mistake. Now we want to get Srimati Radharani back. We need her so much." Krishna said, "I also want her back. It's a leela where I want to give the foolish Brahmana his request and make him lament for higher things. Sometimes, my dear devotees, I put my devotees in a situation where they will lament their misfortune so that they can get something higher." So then Lord Krishna appeared again before the Brahmana and said, "My dear Brahmana, there is a problem. The girlfriends of this gopi are very worried. The girlfriends are very rich, and they have said we should put the gopi Radha on a, how do we call this, please? A scale, yes? And then we should place enough wealth on the other side of the scale, so that Srimati Radharani is weighted. And then we will purchase Radharani from you with all this wealth. You can have the wealth." I was once in South India where a loving mother did this. I'm so sorry that I don't speak English in a very cultured way, but she had her one son. She had two sons. One son. And then she, on a scale, and then she put sugar and bananas on the sun. So one son was very skinny, and it was very easy to put the scale in balance. But the other son was very healthy. That's how they say in Braj, when someone is a little fattish. He was very fatty and healthy looking, so they had to pile really huge amounts of sugar and bananas on the scale, and everyone was laughing, you know. So in this case, it's a tradition. Bhujan Prabhu says, "Why did she do this? It's a tradition to show your affection to your sons, maybe to show them that you value them very much, and that's why you put the sugar and the bananas on the thing. It goes to the deity in the temple. Oh, you sugar sweet son, your banana sweet son, and then you give that for the deity. It's a tradition in India to use a scale in an affectionate way also. It's not a purely mercantile enterprise, in other words. So the gopis put all their ornaments and wealth and jewels on one part, whereas Radharani, who was so angry with Krishna that she pulled her veil and just didn't even look at him. One time only she gave him this glance, like fire, you know, what Krishna had done with her. And then Krishna said to the Brahmana, "Okay, the scale has reached the balance. You can have the jewels and I can have Radharani." And with these words, Krishna disappeared with Radharani. The gopis disappeared. The Lord of the heart, the most attractive personality and his most compassionate counterpart, Srimati Radharani, disappeared from this Brahmana and threw him into an ocean of lamentation. "Alas, what have I done? I have been associating with the divine couple, Radha and Krishna. They were ready to give me their darshan. They have picked me, but I said, I don't want you. You have increased my problem with your darshan. Oh no, oh no, condemned I am, condemned I am, so condemned I am. He was talking like this more. If I would talk like this, you would cry about what he said. He said, I got the most precious jewel, but then I lost the jewel again. I got the most precious treasure, and it went away. My dear devotees, let us not lament like this at the end of the retreat. The only mistake this brahmana did, he did not know how to go on a retreat. He did not remove himself from his ordinary thoughts and worries and the incense smoke of his mind, which always produces temporary images of less importance for our spiritual life. Less important. So on this beginning of the Japa retreat, I request you to switch off your contact to the world of worries, to the material world. Use whatever facilities have been supplied. The greatest facility, I don't even want to say facility, but the greatest mercy is that we are really here at the foot of Giriraj, and he has accepted us. I remember one time when we had it was maybe the second retreat, we had made the plan to increase the facilities a little bit. We had built up a pandal. Do you remember that time, Burijan Prabhu?
First one?
No, the first, I'm very sure, the first time we sat in the shades of the tree, and then we thought, maybe this is too much for our Western audience. Let's make a pandal to give some illusion of security and homeliness and so on and so forth. And at that time, the very strong people from Mathura came and said, it's not allowed what you do here. You sit here at Giriraj. That's not allowed to conduct a seminar. Go, go, go. And then we said, no, it's not a seminar. And we removed the pandal and we said, look, we're only sitting here for a little time. It's very congenial for bhakti. You sit with us and listen. And then they allowed it. So at that time, I really felt it was a great, great blessing of Giriraj that we were not driven away from here. It's a great blessing that you have come here. And that if you can stay here, not be driven away by your mind from the concentration on Radha and Krishna and Giriraj. It's a great, great blessing in your life. It's a great chance. Please use it properly. Please give it your best. This 6 days, or is it 6 days or 7 days? Tomorrow it's 7 days, huh? Is a great benefit for you to make a deep, deep impression. I have been asked to speak on the subject which I will speak about during this time. I have decided to do something which I call therapeutic hearing. I will mainly talk about verses from the Shastras which say what happens when we hear properly. I will also describe how to hear properly, and then I will talk to you Krishna Katha. I have decided to just talk Krishna Leela to you, mixed with some Krishna Tattva and Krishna Leela. This combination I have made for your hearing pleasure. I will talk a little bit about the philosophy of spiritual sound vibration, the effects which it does. And then, after some time, I will just talk Krishna Leela. And I will stop talking when I see you falling asleep. And I will laugh about you when you fall asleep. And then when you are awake again, I will continue. This is my contribution. No, in all seriousness, I want to serve you by telling you about the amazing pastimes of Lord Krishna with the commentaries of the Acharyas and Srila Prabhupada. And in this way, make your heart happy and do what Vaishnavas have done since time immemorial. When they come to Vrindavan, they just absorb themselves in Krishna Katha. This is what my seminar is. Now I want to end, but I want to request you to lovingly chant out, Dede Sirare! This must increase about 1,000 times at the end of this seminar.
Bolo Giriraj.
You say.
No, you have to. No.
Bolo Giriraj Maharaj ki.